On. Now the red light's on. Two red lights. Good. Okay. Okay. As I said, the nice thing about this try-catch is that you can catch an exception. Okay? I can catch a problem. So I said, catch it as an exception, and I can then say, put up that word data problem. So in other words, try to do this, and if I'm not successful, deal with it down here by putting up the word data problem. And that is a nice thing, because it keeps the program from crashing. Okay, so instead of having the program crash, I'm informing people there was a problem, but they can go back and fix it now and try again, as opposed to the program crashes. Okay, and this will be especially important when we get further on and we start with capturing data. Okay, because you don't want the program to crash, you'd like it to continue on its way. So what this does, and a lot of languages have this ability, is they provide something where the bad data doesn't get processed, but it doesn't cause the program to crash. And that's what we want. We want notification that there was bad data, that things didn't happen the way I thought they were going to happen, but we don't want to lose the program. Yes?
Is that like when you will feel blank and you try running the program?
It can be that, okay? And we'll get into that where we do a lot of testing for accuracy. But in this case, it's simply if I wasn't able to convert that. So, in other words, if I could not convert that number to integer. So if I type ABC, it can't convert it to integer. So if I run this, and I type up here ABC, and I hit the convert with the try catch, it comes up and tells me it's a data problem. Okay? So I know that it encountered a data problem and that it didn't get, whatever I was trying to do didn't get done. Okay? And what I was trying to do is put the answer up in the box. So now, but I have a chance to fix it. So I can go back and put 1, 2, 3 and hit that, and it does the conversion correctly. So what this does for me is it gives me a chance to correct my mistake and try again. Okay? So I put in ABC. It gave me the fact that it was a data problem. I went back and put 1, 2, 3. And it did what I asked it to do, which was convert it and display it in the box. Now, this obviously isn't as crucial, as I said, unless you're collecting data. If you're collecting data, it starts to become very important that you don't want to have it crash in the middle. Okay? So again, if I put in here ABC and I hit the convert only, it crashes because it says I cannot convert when casting from a number. The value must be a number less than infinity. So that's the non-English way of saying it wasn't a number. Okay? So that's telling me that I had a problem. And what I find is that highlighting is the important thing. Invalid cast exception was unhandled. Okay, so I know something was unhandled, and I know it had to do with this thing that was underlined. And that is what is more meaningful to me than all the verbiage that they kindly provide me with. In fact, I have to admit to very rarely reading past the first line. Okay. But now I've got the problem of I can't go back. Okay, I can rerun and I've still got the problem, so I have to get out of here and go back. So putting that try in, because up here when I hit just the convert button, I do it. And if it doesn't work, I get kicked out. Okay, I get the error. But when I put in the try, then I can get the error. I can deal with it. Okay, now the next one, I have two things here. If I put in A and 4, and I say calculate, it tells me data not numeric. Now notice I have two catches here. Okay? What I'm doing here is taking two numbers, converting them to integer, then I'm doing a divide and showing the answer in currency. If it discovers that the data is not numeric that I put in there, it gives me that message. And I picked the message, so I picked the message of data not numeric. Okay. And they have this whole list of things that you can put in there, and your book covers that, so you can look at those. Now, if I look at this one, and I found this kind of interesting, if I put in here an 8 and a 0, and I say calculate, it actually doesn't give my message, which was another error. It says, yeah, right, and it gives me its error. And that's, so this was the error of divide by zero exception. This was just any exception. This was specifically, it's an invalid cast exception. Remember when we saw that, when we did the error, it came up with invalid cast exception? So here I said, if you catch an invalid cast exception, then you can put out that message, data not numeric. If the error you catch is a divide by zero exception, I told it to put out another error. Note that it actually gives infinity as the error. Okay? So in that case, it basically says, yeah, right, I'm going to tell you what I think the error is, and it gives it to you. Yeah.
So when you call it invalid cast exception, is that like an exception inside Visual Basic? Or
yes.
Just name it?
No, that's one of Visual Basic's exceptions.
And
as I said, the book gives you quite a list. If you go into and wade through help, you can find out a whole load of the things. And what you end up having to do is find possible exceptions. What I usually end up doing is having one that is just plain exception. Because, you know, if you find another error other than the ones I specified, then I would like to see just exception. And that's fine if you want to do it. But if you want to get more specific, then you can say, catch this one, catch that one, and you can list a bunch of errors.
So you can, like, make it, like, if you didn't want a number over 400, you can make your own error exception, I mean?
Yes, you can, but I'm not sure you do it that way.
Okay.
We'll get into that, and yes, you can, but I'm trying to think of how I could do it this way, and I don't think so. These are catching Microsoft errors.
Oh, okay.
Okay. See, that if you try, if you want a number, that's not a number that's going to crash things. I only want numbers that are less than 400 or something. Isn't going to crash things. These are in response to Microsoft crashing things.
Okay.
So these are catching Microsoft errors as opposed to your errors, which we'll get into how to catch your errors.
So you can't rename a divide by zero exception.
Apparently, divide by zero apparently decides that it would prefer, and so it ignores me.
Okay.
And that's okay, because in fact they gave a better message than I did. So, because divide by zero is indeed infinity. But I was just surprised when I saw it, because I basically went and picked two of these to do, and then it didn't give me the answer that I thought it was going to give me, and I said, interesting. Yeah.
Okay. when you were declaring these, double is a variable for what?
Which, what, why? Compared to double is decimal.
Okay,
double is a decimal number, and
I never remember this. Double, I think, is greater than 32,000 something something something, and single is less than 32,000 something something something. Okay.
So you could use single instead of double to get a decimal number, or no?
Convert to single. Yeah, probably. That's true. Probably if I did a convert to single and it was too big a number. That's interesting. I think that would work. Give it a try. I hate it when people say that. Give it a try. But I still say it. Go ahead.
Can I answer my question? Since the computer automatically, the program automatically gives you that instead of the answer, you can basically take that another error.
And put infinity
just
in there.
No, just take it right out. That's what I just did. I just commented it out.
You just commented it right out and it still did it.
It still came up.
Okay. But it still put it in the box.
Yeah.
Wasn't it clever? I honestly didn't try that.
That was my question. So I commented the whole line out.
Interesting.
Both of them, and infinity still came up in the text box.
Okay.
Which
that's interesting.
It doesn't make sense because there's no path to get to that box once you take it.
Yeah, but apparently the path is established in the line above. So what about if we... Okay, so you commented that one out.
Yeah, saved it and ran it.
You don't even have to save it. Okay, so I'm going to do 6 divided by 0. And it worked just fine. Okay, now let's try commenting this out and see if it's smart enough to figure it out now. Okay, and what did I do on the others? Okay, so it's not putting out anything for the others. If I restart this one, and I do A and Q or whatever I did. Okay, so there it needed something, so that's not working. That's very interesting. That it basically kind of, because the first one... We could also play with changing the order, though. There's lots of possibilities to play with. And again, that's one of those, have a good time. But there's lots of possibilities you could play with. If I reverse the order of these two, would it then put the word infinity in the right place? Okay? I think it's safest to put in the text answer of what you wanted to do. And not count on it figuring things out. And if you want to put the infinity there, that's fine. Or you can stick with the another error and it will come up with infinity. But if you want to look like you know what you're doing, then probably you should put the message infinity there. And then it looks like it was you that did it as opposed to Visual Basic and weren't you smart. Okay, so... that seems to be the way to go. Okay. But basically, you can go and find errors that you think you might create. And in fact, what I've done is lots of times played with the data, put in bad data, seen what error came up, and then said, okay, I need to have a thing in there to catch that error. So just played with it, seen the different errors that I could create, and then saying, okay, I'm going to put a catch in that will catch that error. And that's one good way of doing it.
Now, when you crash a program, does it show you the error so you can use that?
Yeah, it shows you the error. So you can use it, but it does show you the error. sometimes in a rather cryptic way.
So it won't say, if you crash it, it won't.
Oh, yeah. No, we just crashed this one. Let's try it again. If I do the top one, and I put in here A, B, C...
and I say I want to convert, it crashes it.
Okay, so it does say.
It says, and it says invalid cast exception. So that's how I know that it considers this an invalid cast exception.
Okay.
And that's what I can then put down here to capture an invalid cast exception. Okay? And this, yeah.
Well, I was going to ask, since we're going to be doing if statements probably, is there a way to catch a no from happening?
Yeah, you can catch anything once you get into if statements. Because if statements allow you to go in and catch anything you want to catch. You can check data 10 ways to Sunday. Because you can look at the piece of data and ask all kinds of questions about it. Okay? So, and yes, we're going to see it. And yes, there are other ways of doing it. And no, I'm not going there.
Well, that's dope.
You're turning into Max.
Well, I've already taken you. I'm going to go to class of yours, though.
That's okay. The rest haven't. So, that does make a weird sound when I drink from it. Anyway. Okay, so that's that one. And then the next one going down is what?
Use group.
It is use group program. Yeah, no, I mean, at least go four or five ahead of me because it's just going to make your life easier if you get them downloaded and you don't have to stop and do it now. It will make life easier. I'm not quite clear why I called this group, but that's all right. Okay, so here I just have a message box, and I basically have that happening on form load. So on form load, you can see over here it says handles my base load, which means the form load. Down here it says handles on that a quick event, so it shows what it's handling over there. But this is handling on form load. So on form load is kind of where you do the housekeeping stuff. You put things in form load that you want to happen one time when the program starts. Okay? So form load lets you do that. And so that message I just put out to show how the use of form load. Now, when you are creating a program, if you go any blank place on this and click on it, it brings up the load. It creates the load because it's the form load. So if you go any blank place on the form and double click, it will make the form load. Okay? So that ends up making the form load. Okay, so if we go back and look at the form, one of the things, and it's hard to see here, but that is a group box, which is probably why I called it group, but I didn't do a lot with it. I made a box that I put the information in, and you can see that's over here called a group box. Okay, so I've got a box that I put the information in. Grouped it together as a box. Later on, we'll see when we're doing things like radio buttons and things like that, this group is a way of putting the radio buttons so I know all of the radio buttons go together in this group, and then I can have another group of radio buttons over here, and it's how I can set things up like that. Okay. So on this one, as I said, I'm just basically setting up some fields. And I defined some work areas. So I went in and said dim some work areas. And I dimmed profit is double, cost and price is double. Okay, so I can do two of them that way as well. And then I converted the stuff on the text box to double. Now your problem is that stuff that is on a text box is basically string. Okay, now it usually works fine in a calculation, but if you're doing a lot with it and you're having problems with it, you can always convert it like this, and that guarantees that you have a number. You can convert it like I did here to make a work area, or you can convert it as you're doing the processing. So in other words, I can come down here and just do the conversion as I did it. Now what I did here is I actually went back and I didn't even use the converting, I should have put in another line that did the converting. But I went ahead and did it without the converting, mainly to show you. And I probably should have done it without the converting. So there is bringing up the message. And when I say okay, now I get the form. So it popped up the message box on form load before it even showed me the form. Okay? Because as it was loading the form, it popped up that message box. And I love this little thing that comes here, and I don't know how to make it decide it doesn't want to be there. Do I spend my life complaining about this product? Yes. Okay. So, now I'm going to put in an item number, 123, a price of $45, a cost of $40. And I can calculate my profit, and it's $5. So as you can see, even though I played around with converting, I can do the calculation. And Microsoft is very good about saying, okay, if you've got these two boxes and you want to do a subtract, I'll go ahead and do a subtract, even though they're not numbers, okay, and doing the convert for you. But if I really wanted to be totally safe here, I could have done instead put in here double price because I converted it, minus double cost because I converted it. And then I am strictly working with numbers and not counting on Microsoft to get it right. Okay, so, there's always some value to that.
What is C double again?
Convert to double.
Oh, okay.
The C at the front means convert, and convert to double, I can have a very expensive product. Okay, I could have converted the double to single. In old Visual Basic, and it still works here, you can use val to convert to a number. And that was the way that Visual Basic did it for years and years, and it still works. If I want to put val in front of it, it converts it to a number. But C double or C single or C integer is more specific because it tells it what type of number to convert it to. My assumption is, I think I remember that val just does a double anyway because it kind of does the generic thing that would work best, and a large decimal is the best, yeah.
Is single abbreviated?
It's S-I-S, I think it's C-S-I-N. Actually, that's a good question, and I'm not sure that I remember. I don't know why I like convert to double. Convert double, convert to decimal, that would work. Convert to integer.
Just take it as S.
I was just kind of... It's SNG. Okay, so it's SNG. This is just real helpful when you have a question like that and you say, how do I write it? Is just going here. I know it has to start with C. And as you said, I would have a pretty good bet that it would start with S, but I was just kind of scrolling down to see what it had. So I can convert to single, I can convert to string, I can convert to type, and that has to provide other information, and I don't remember exactly what they are. I can convert to short, byte. What's short? Does anybody remember? I'm supposed to know this stuff, I'm sure, but I don't. There is so much. If you go down this list of things, there's going to be a gazillion of them that you just haven't never happened to use.
Well, we can memorize and get something for the course.
No. Because I couldn't memorize it, so I can't. I really operate in programming as I understand what languages are capable of. And I understand what I want to do, so now let me go try to figure out how to do it. And so I kind of look at things on an as-needed basis an awful lot. And that seems to work. Because if you want to go through and learn everything that Visual Basic has to offer there, okay, you're not talking about a semester, you're talking about a lifelong commitment to reading Visual Basic documentation. And I'm not willing to make that commitment, and I don't know about you, but that's not going to work for me. Okay, so then I converted these things all to, and said I wanted it set to currency, so the two string and the currency in there were converted to currency. And if I put the two string, I'm sure I will see a lot of other possibilities other than two currency. And you can see how you would like to display things. Okay, so if I take this out, no, it didn't show me a list here. It just says converts to numeric, etc. I wonder how I see those possibilities. You can also go do searches. Okay, so that's basically what I did there, and I did the calculation, and then I cleared it. I think I want that over a little. And the last one is what? Project Math. And these are just a whole load of things that you can do mathematically. Okay, so I've got an input that I'm putting in that is... No, I don't want to do that. I want something that will let me... Okay, there's 8 and 3. Okay, if I say to add them, I get 11. Okay? If I say to add NO, I get 83. Okay, so what did add NO do?
Concatenate
them. Okay, so if you look over here, the plus does the concatenation. If I do not convince it, I'm sorry, here, wrong place, does the concatenation. If I don't convince it, it's a number. So by converting it, it knows it's a number and it does the add. Down here, the same add didn't work because it comes in as string off the form, and so at that point Microsoft doesn't decide that you want to add, it decides that it is going to concatenate. Okay. The subtract got me a subtract. Okay. Now the multiply, I got the answer in two places because I put it in two places. And there is a reason further down, I think, why I did that. I think I did two things and tried it out. But I ended up putting that in two places.
Oh, I changed the text align to right. That's what it is. I was thinking it was further down. I changed the text align to right. So over in the properties, I changed text align to right. So if I want to see it over that way, I can do it by changing the alignment. Okay, so I changed the text align to right. Okay, what does the next one do? Okay, it does a divide, and it comes up with 2 points and goes on forever. Okay, the next one does that. Okay, so what did that do? When you reverse the slash on the divide, which is what I did, I reverse the slash on the divide, it does what's called an integer divide. And an integer divide basically gives you the integer answer. So I don't get the 2.6666, I just get the 2. Okay? Then I come up and the next one is get the remainder. And the remainder happens to be 2. Unfortunately, it's the same, but it really does is the remainder, because 8 divided by 3 gives you a remainder of 2. So that is getting the remainder. Okay, what was it that got me the remainder?
Mod.
Okay, mod gets me the remainder. And then the last one going down is doing powers. And that gives me 8 to the third power, right? And I'm assuming that's the right answer. 8 times 8 is 64, times 8 is...
That number.
That works. Okay, so, and the little up arrow there is what gets me the power. Okay? And I know there are other mathematical things, but these are the kind of things that I use more frequently than others. So you can go and look up more if you want to do something. But those are some of the mathematical things that it allows me to do, and the symbols that allow me to do that, with the exception of mod, which doesn't have a symbol. Then you write the word M-O-D. Okay, and that gets you the remainder.
So you don't need to put the division in with the mod?
If you wanted to, you could, for example, do an integer division and then right below it say, now I want to know what the remainder is.
Okay.
Because an integer division means it basically shows you the number up top and stops when it would start with the decimal point. And so then you can ask me to now show me the remainder. Because 8 divided by 3 is going to be 2 with a remainder of 2. And I should have picked another number that didn't come out that way, but I didn't. So, okay. Okay. So that basically goes into the stuff in Chapter 3. When I do these examples, these actually match your book. And I actually went back and picked what I considered the highlights of the book. So hopefully when you read the book someday, not great, when you read the book at some point, those are the things that are going to be, that I considered the important things in the book. So I went over what I considered the important things in the book in these examples. Okay, so in fact, you're getting a lot of the material from the book just by understanding these examples and how they're working. And that was my justification for now moving on to 4. And I think I have 4 there. File, what did I call that? Project intro if. Why didn't I do file close, project close solution? Okay.
So project info if. And what I did is what, if you haven't done it, you really should do, which is I just went back and, you know, basically downloaded now through chapter 4 on my, and unzipped them all so I'd have them and didn't have to stand here and do the unzips. Okay, so what I've got here is a lot of if statements. And a lot of ways of doing if statements. Now, I also included some other stuff that they covered in the chapter. So, I have got color that I'm setting. Okay, so I said I wanted to take the place where the result would go, and I want to make the background color anti-white. And I want to make the foreground color red. And if it's else, I want to make the background color beige and the foreground color brown. So I am changing the look of the box as I put the answer in. Okay? So I'm saying basically if text first equals CI. So I'll put CI in there. Okay? And I'm checking and looking, and it is a CI major. I guess that's red. I guess that's antique white. Whatever. Now I'm going to actually try that's antique white, huh? Okay, now I'm going to put BU in there and check. And now it is beige and brown. Well, I'll buy the brown. That's the first color that I've bought as to what they're giving me. But anyway, I guess it looks beige here. It looks greener on my machine. And the red looked orange, but whatever. Okay. But essentially, I can set. You know how I said you can set in the properties? So if I set background color in the properties, what I'm doing is setting the default background color. If, as I'm processing, I want to change the background color, I can do it in the code by saying, take the field, and now instead of saying dot text being, look at the text property, I'm now saying dot back color, which means look at the back color property. So I'm saying take a look at the background color, and I want to set it to color antique white. And look at the foreground color, and I want to set it to color red. Okay, so my default, if I had set them, which I didn't, I don't think. If I did, I set them to black and white. My default color is going to be overridden if I had a default color. Okay, by this code here. So this will override it and change the color. So I'm going to get one of those two colors depending on the if statement. And your if statement is a standard if statement. The big thing that I always forget is the word then. Okay, they want you to write the word then in your if statement. And this version, I think, fills it in for you.
Yeah.
Whereas other versions did not. They just yell at you. And clearly they kind of got enough complaints about that they decided to have it fill in. Okay? But if you go into some back versions and you run it, it doesn't fill in. It just gives you an error message.
Is there a way to make it case-specific?
Case-specific.
So if we type in lowercase ci, it says not a ci major.
Yes, you can check and you can convert it. There is a function that can convert. So you can write here if this equals and then put the function in there, and the function will go ahead and convert whatever you typed in.
and to upper or to lower or something like that. Okay, so you can actually put a function in there and ask it to do the conversion. Or you can convert it ahead of time and save it.
Oh yeah, if you go into text first on text and then you type in .2 and it'll give you the option for lower and upper.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Then down here on the clear, I am setting the background color to back to what I want the default to be. So when I say clear, I'm saying basically not only take the text out, but set the background and foreground colors back as well, so that I'm back to the original. Because I want clear to get me back to the original. Okay, so I've got this, and then I click on clear. Now it not only takes out the data, but it resets the color stuff that I did. And I'd want to do that. So it's your standard if-else, and you're all set there. Okay. What is the next one going down? What relationship do I have going on there between the two questions? No, but what's the relationship? Do I have, what do I want to, what do I have to have in order to print out honors?
Well, true.
It has to be a CI, and it has to be greater than 3.5.
Right, and the key there is the AND that you said as you were saying that, and what you said. It's an AND relationship. Okay, so this is basically saying this and that print out honors. So what you have in the flowchart that would go with that is you have CI, and then you have second is greater than 3.5, and then you say, okay, if that is true, then I'm going to set it equal to honors. And if it's not, I'm doing nothing. I don't have an else there. So if it's not, I'm doing nothing. Okay. So if those two things are true, then I am putting out the word honors. And then I'm doing end in, end if, and that's the end of it. Now what's driving me crazy about this thing is if I write on it, I have to click one place, and if I don't write on it, I have to click another place. Absolutely love this package. Okay. What's the logic on this one? Draw the flowchart. Draw the flowchart on this next one. Let's see how much you remember how to draw a flowchart.
commented out the green stuff, right?
Right. Well, that's because we're going to look at that. Okay, this one is another and relationship, but in this case I've got something to happen on the knots as well, on the nose as well. So if the CI and greater than 3.5, I'm pretty darn honest what this plane has. If there, and that could be a parallelogram, I get, I'm not sure. When I'm doing visual basic, parallelogram is mean IO. Rectangles mean do things. Well, I'm kind of putting it up on the form, so maybe that should be a parallelogram. But also moving things around, I tend to think more in a rectangle. So I guess I am iffy as to which one I'd like to draw there, and I don't think I care whether I draw a rectangle or a parallelogram there. Okay. So I'm saying, basically, if it's not greater than 3.5, put out not on this. If it's not CI, put out not on this. Now, the nose on these are the same. So that means I can go with a compound. Because if the nose are the same, then I've got the ability to say, which I did down here, if it's CI and greater than 3.5, put out honors. Else, put out not honors. So I have the ability to make that into a compound because the nos are the same.
Eliminate one.
Huh?
You can just eliminate one.
That's right. Well, you can eliminate. You're not eliminating as much as you're combining, right? You're eliminating an if, but that's because the if is asking two questions. Now, when I come down to the one below, when I change this and say this one should say not a CI student, then these become not the same, and at that point I cannot do a compound, okay, because I wouldn't know what to put on the else, okay? I'd have to ask another question, which is the same question, so why am I doing a compound if I would then have to ask another question? So if they're not the same, which is what I did on the one below it, then they're not the same, so therefore I can't go to a compound. Okay, so this one lets me do a compound, that one doesn't let me do a compound. And it's the logic that lets me do it or not do it. Okay, if you read the names of these, I really wasn't thinking too clearly. Close the ink, Leah. You can pretty much tell what everything is, so I probably should have just stuck with strange names. On this one, I'm asking either of the two possibilities is fine. Okay? So I basically, when you code an OR, you go like this. If it's CI, then it's okay. If it's not CI, I have another chance. Is it greater than 3.5? And if that's true, then it's an okay. And if it's not true, so if it's CI, it's okay. And if it's not CI, I've got a second chance. Is it greater than 3.5? And if that's true, it's okay. So this one is an OR relationship, either one or the other. And because they both end up with the same thing here, I can do a compound.
Which one is this?
This one. but more. Okay? So because they're the same, I can end up doing a compound and saying if it's this or that, do okay. But the key is that they're the same. If those were different things, then I can't do a compound because I'm reacting differently to the two different questions. But if I'm reacting the same to the two different questions, then it means I don't care which one I get a yes to. And so I can turn it into a compound. Okay. On the one below that, the only thing that I changed was I put in this not either. And that can still be a compound because, again, the key is these are the same. Okay, so when I put in the not either, okay, I wrote either there as opposed to not either, but that's all right. The same general message came across. So if either of them is true, then put out an okay. If I get an else is if I get a no to both of them. So else is if I get a no to both of them, then put out the not either, or in this case neither, I guess. Okay. However, if I change one of these okays, then I can't do a compound. Because my question of is it this or is it that, I can't ask that if I've got different responses. Okay? So if I change this and said all right as opposed to okay, then I can't make it a compound. If I really care about saying all right. And that's what I did down there, is I changed it so that I was saying, if it's this, put out CI major. Else, check that. If it's that, put out honors GPA. Else, put out not either. Since I have different things, I can't compound it. Because I can't say this or this, because I have different stuff that I'm going to put out. And once I get into different stuff, then I can't compound. Okay, this is one of my favorites. This one down here. This has to be true. Because notice what happens. If it's not CI, then I'm immediately out of here. So the CI has to be true. Okay, so what I've got on this one is it CI? If it's CI, then I'm asking, is it greater than 3.5? And if it is, then I'm putting out meets criteria. If it is not greater than 3.5, I have another chance. And the other chance is something greater than 30. Whatever is in the third thing, is credits. That greater than 30? Credits. Okay. Say that again?
Those credits.
Yeah, right. Would be meets criteria. And I don't have any else's on any of these, so I'm closing off business here. Unfortunately, they don't provide a template to draw these things when I'm standing up here. And I forgot a lot. Okay, so there I've got the CI has to be true and either of the others. So if it's CI and greater than 3.5, that meets the criteria.
If it's CI and greater than 30, that meets the criteria. So that, we see this as the same, so it allows me to do a compound. Okay? But when I do the compound, I have the rule which comes back to haunt me here, which is ands are resolved before ors. The order of operation applied to ands and ors. Ands are resolved before ors. And you can make change with parentheses. So, when I write this as a compound, I say CI and parenthesis this or that. If I took out the parenthesis there, how does it get resolved?
If you take out the parenthesis?
Mm-hmm.
Good. You compare the first two boxes. And they would have to be true. One of them would have to be true, or...
No, not one of them, both of them.
Both of them would have to be
true. Both of them would have to be true, or the third one would have to be true.
That's right. The third one stands alone. So if I have... Okay, that one, and then I want to put it again. There we go. And I want to take out the parenthesis. Okay. So in this one, when I do it here, these two get grouped. Those two get grouped. And this one stands alone. Because ands get resolved before ors. Huh? Oh, it just... The light doesn't like it because apparently the pen is up against something or something. Yes, I love it when I go green. Sometimes I can get it so it alternates, green, blue, green, blue, green, blue. Then it really gets exciting. Okay, so the ands get resolved before the ors. So the ands get grouped there, and the or stands alone. And to change that order, I put in the parentheses, which means this... And I put in here the word either, and I just think it that way. The parenthesis basically, in most cases, stands for either. So it's this and either of those. Because inside parenthesis gets resolved if I have parenthesis. So the two things there get grouped as either this or this, and then that gets combined with the and. To the CI. Okay, so that's the way that works. Okay, and back to this. Okay. This one, I've got the same thing going on. It's got to be CI, and it's got to be this or this, but I threw in all kinds of else's. Okay, so I've got basically the structure... is still this structure. But now I have thrown in something on the no branches. Okay. So in order to make this compound, if these two are the same, and these two are the same, I can make it compound.
Or complex.
Either way. It becomes more complex when it's compound. How's that? But those have to be the same in order to do it. In other words, my yeses have to result in that. And my no's, okay, so my yeses resolve in the same thing. And my no's
have the same thing, and so therefore I can do the compounds. If it's true, then it meets the criteria, otherwise it does not meet the criteria. Okay, so the structure is what's important there. The no's have to be the same and the yes's have to be the same. And so down below, when I did one that had the no's different and the yes's different, I can't make it compound because I'm going to be putting something here and a different thing here and a different thing here and a different thing here. So I can't make it compound. I have to ask the questions individually. Does that make sense? Because it's a real fast overview. So if you haven't had this before, ask questions and ignore the people that say it makes sense because they've had it before. So they don't count. Hey. Questions? Okay. And that's the end. And that's the end of the end. Okay, so I'm done. So, we have done a quick look at if statements. I still don't want you to use ifs in the homework. Next week we'll have ifs. Suffering silence, please.
This is going on. Just do it both ways.
Certainly. If you would like to redo the program with if statements, I'll give you extra credit for extra work. So if you want to do it once and then redo it with if statements, just so you don't whine, I will give you extra credit to avoid whining.
I think somebody felt isolated.
What?
You got picked on over
here. And it's not deserved? Come on.
Don't worry, you won't be alone.
There's one in every front row. That can't be me.
This is all coming back right now, so you don't have
to go. Okay, questions? Okay, I'm done. I'm not here Thursday. I think it's in your best interest to come and work with other people and get the project done. But if you'd rather do it on your own, your call. Okay?
Partner.
That's fine. And